We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos. The Beer Amigos.
Hey, this is Travis.
And this is Mike.
And we are the Beer Amigos! Recording live from the 9th annual Blue Point Cascals Festival, located in Patchogue, New York. It is Saturday, April 13th, 2013, and we're here to drink some beers, record some episode, and just get it on.
And before we get started, we want to let all you know that as part of Long Island Craft Beer Week on May 15th, the Beer Amigos will be refereeing the Long Island Craft Beer Pong Tournament at Jackson's Restaurant on Jericho Turnpike in Commack around 7 p.m. Greg Martin of Long Island is going to be there, right, Greg?
Going to the bathroom.
Right. Joe Churchy of Starfish Junction is going to be there, right, Joe?
Hell yeah.
All right, so let's get started, Mike.
All right, let's get it in. We are here at the Blue Point Cask Ales Festival on this glorious Saturday, the 13th of April, 2013. Sorry, WrestleMania just happened. We're here with Matt and Laurie Spitz of the upcoming Butte Mustache Brewing Company. Guys, how are you doing today? We're pre-festival now. It's a little quiet, which is, you know, the calm before the storm. It's a beautiful day, but let's hear what the Spitz have to say. The Spitzes have to say.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are doing...
Lori and then Matt. No, I'm joking.
Why won't you let me talk, Mike? Right. Come on. All right. Hi.
That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted that second.
See you later.
So, we had a segment where you discussed, you know, your brewery and you know, the funding Kickstarter-wise a while ago, and it's nice to reconnect with you, although we see you regularly. We don't necessarily always discuss this because I know that you're...
Business.
Yeah, it's mostly pleasure, sometimes business. But I know you get inundated with a lot of that, so I try to respect the fact that you don't want to always talk about this.
Thank you.
But we're at an event, so we're going to talk about
it. You have no choice.
Beer is happening all around us.
And now we have to get out of here. Sorry.
We cornered them into a porta potty, not even the handicap sized one, the regular.
I'd like to comment though, we are in the women's only porta potty right now, so it's a little bit cleaner than the men's.
Yeah, these smell a lot different than the guys.
We didn't pre-sanitize. Though, but they did.
This one's fresh. The toilet paper hasn't even been opened yet. Yeah. It smells like almonds.
That's always a good thing. Like, I mean, I remember when I went to Bonnaroo. I mean, we're going to get the beer eventually here, but I remember when I went to Bonnaroo and, like, you would hear the cesspool trucks in the morning and you were like, yes! And you would, like, get out of your tent and run like hell to get, like, into the toilet while it was clean. And you found great satisfaction in that freshly wrapped toilet paper where you were like, all right, like, yeah. I know that no one has treaded on this ground before. I'm staking my claim. And that's that. Sorry,
this might be the first beer podcast to ever talk about toilet paper.
We're gonna stop talking about, you know, excretion and start talking about yeah. I mean, it's inevitably gonna happen at some point today. But most importantly, let's get back to your brewery love child, and tell us about that and where you are right now. So I'm gonna let the Spitzes do some talking, and I'm gonna shut up.
Okay, so right now we are just. In limbo. This is so close to my face, it's uncomfortable.
It has to be, sorry. Well, we are in a porta potty.
I know. Everything's so close to my face right now. It's really awkward. So right now we are, we're just in the licensing process, which is going to probably be about another 6 months, fingers crossed. Everything's in, submitted, and we're just, there's really nothing else we can do at the moment. Waiting on building permits and liquor, you know, brewer's notice and state liquor authority approval. It just takes a while, and we're not really too sure with all the sequestration that's going on if that's going to slow things down or not. Hoping that we hear, you know, we get things together by the fall. So we're hoping for the fall. No promises. If it's going to go into 2014, though, I'm going to cry. So.
Do you have all your hardware, fermenters, everything in place already?
We don't yet. We haven't ordered our brew house yet. We do have fermenters. They are not at the brewery yet, but we got a good deal on some used ones. So, yeah.
At this point, it's been a lot of hurry up and wait. You know, kind of, all right, let's get this. Okay, now we'll hear from you in a month or two or six, you know. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Have you found this as a good opportunity to maybe hone some of your recipes or even, you know, expand what your potential, you know, like line and flagship beers are going to be?
Are you using this time to your benefit, yeah. Essentially?
I mean, so right now we've been just brewing every weekend and, just refining all the recipes, playing with some other recipes that we haven't had a chance to try because we've been up to our ears in paperwork. We're basically brewing and looking for money from investors. So those are the two things that we're doing right now.
Do you feel, I know that you both, maybe independently actually, brewed beers for today's event. Perhaps you could, you know, elaborate on what you had your hand in and if you had brewed anything, you know, similar to this in the past.
Sure. I made a black IPA with our friend Sean Clancy. And it was actually kind of cool because we didn't have the opportunity to get together and brew at the same time. So he did his 5-gallon batch, I did my 5-gallon batch, and then we just combined them in the cask, which I thought was kind of cool. So it's really like a true collaboration, you know?
Do you think this is a mere coincidence that this happened the year that the Postal Service celebrated their 10-year anniversary of an album that was made in the same regard, you know, two separate entities working on it in two separate places and then merging it together? Is it just an alignment of the stars, or is this just, you know, just like a mere coincidence?
Or do you have no idea what Mike's even talking about?
I have no clue what the fuck you're talking about.
Sorry, I'm just pumped.
Mike, let's stick to the porta potties and beer, right?
Absolutely. And Lori had her hand in something as well, so.
Yes, Tim Saliani and I brewed a White Russian milk stout based after our favorite movie, The Big Lebowski. So it's called The Little Lebowski Urban Achiever.
And you have to yell abide when you drink.
Yeah, yeah. We actually also have another, not here, but we had brewed a bigger imperial version of the same beer, and it's called the Dude Stout. Toyed with calling it abide, but definitely find us running around today in our Lebowski and Achiever shirts.
That nice.
I don't know if you could see, it's kind of dark in the porta potty, but
it actually smells like a milk stout in here.
Sorry about that. So that'll be tapped over at the LA, both of Matt and I's beers will be over at the LIBME table.
Great. So obviously we look forward to things in the hopefully near future regarding the Mustache Brewing Company, but I know that you guys have set up a beer defects class, two of them actually. One at the Hoptron Boutique in Patchogue and the other at the Black Sheep Ale House in
Mineola.
Tell us a little bit about how that came to fruition and your intent behind it.
So Matt and I have actually been, you know, working on, just in our kind of downtime, also been doing a lot of like honing up on different beer things. I'm actually working on my Cicerone certification at the same time, and a huge part of that is being able to identify beer defects. So I really wanted to, when we were at the Craft Brewers Conference 2 weeks ago, I was at the Seibel Institute booth. I can never figure out how to say it. And they actually have a beer defects kit, but kind of costs a lot of money. So I wanted to get a bunch of people together to justify getting this. And I threw it out there, and everybody, I had like 40 people who wanted to do it. So, you know, one thing we're going to be doing with the brewery once we're up and running is teaching a lot of classes, homebrewing, different, you know, style classes. So we thought this was a good opportunity to do this now. So we're going to be going over six of the most common beer defects found in homebrews. So it's a great class for homebrewers, anyone doing BJCP, Cicerones, anybody who just wants to have a better knowledge of what they're drinking and if there's a problem. We're going to taste them. We're going to talk about what causes them, how to prevent them, and, you know, if there's a way to fix them in your beer, how to fix them. So, really excited. Class is actually almost sold out, but if you go on our Facebook page, there's some seats, a couple seats left, I think, so you could register. It's on Eventbrite.
And where are you guys getting this defective beer from for everyone to taste?
Well, with the how the kits work is they're small vials that is enough enough of the whatever infected compound or defective compound to inoculate about a liter of beer. So you take a neutral kind of tasting beer, usually Bud Light or Bud or whatever, and then you put the defect in it. And then, so you can really get a pure sense of what the defect is all about.
We just want to say this is the only time that we'll condone drinking either of those aforementioned beers.
Sounds good. Tickets for that are available on Eventbrite?
Yes. If you just look up, the class is titled Bad Beer, so if you just look up Bad Beer on Eventbrite, I believe it is the only two classes called a Bad Beer that will come up.
And again, what are those dates again?
It's Tuesday, May 21st at Hoptron Boutique in Patchogue, and then Tuesday, May 28th, the week after, at Black Sheep Ale House in Mineola.
28th, probably.
28th. What did I say?
You said, no. The Tuesday after the 21st will probably be the 28th.
I have no idea what's
going on. Is Matt doing the accounting for Mustache?
Actually, no.
No.
All right. Well, thank you guys so very much. It's always great talking to you. We'll see you very soon, and hopefully next time we talk to you, we'll be in Mustache Brewing Company drinking your beer. Thank you guys so very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, now let's get out of this porta potty.
We are here with Evan from the Barrier Brewing Company. He is presently in front of us. We're super grateful that he's here with us at the Blue Point Cask Ales Festival. Today, you poured your Oil City... IPA, and also your American Pale Ale. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that. I actually, prior to talking about that, put that American Pale Ale in my top three today for sure, without a doubt. So give us some insight as to how you came about bringing those today and what brought you to put peaches and Simcoe in that. So.
Okay, well, the Bittersweet Pale Ale, it's one of like two American Pale Ales we do. One's a Green Room, which is a little more toasty, a little more floral. This guy... tends to be a little more round, I guess, is a word I've been using a little bit. It's kind of a little more well balanced. Not as bitter as the Green Room, but it's a lot more citrusy. Borderline IPA, but without the bitterness. Really citrusy, some New Zealand hops. And with our casks, we've kind of been having some fun. We kind of tend to use like fruit or like a maple syrup or molasses. This one happened to be peaches. It's kind of a nice fermentable sugar. It also gives it some peach flavor. We use a Kolsch yeast for that beer as well, which also gives like a peach ester. Peach, pear, ester from the yeast. And so kind of just plays off that. And Simcoe, it's another hop we use in that beer as well. So kind of just, have some fun with the beer and see what happens. So anytime we use like a fruit like that, it's always kind of a risk because you never know. You're handling the fruit. There's a lot of there's different yeast strains on that fruit to begin with. So anytime it comes out good, we're always happy. And this one came out pretty nice.
Yeah, you're like the outcome is a crapshoot because I don't know what's gonna be the end result. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Super glad that you're here. We've had your beers where, you've had, people representing your brewery. But it's always nice to have a beer, provided and poured by the brewer. It's great that we're here at the Blue Point Brewery because recently, unfortunately, you guys had some, troubling events with the Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah.
And the Sandy Relief beer was actually brewed where we're standing presently. Not at this spot, but at this facility. And that's got to be kind of cool for that to come full circle and you guys be back on your feet and brewing in your own facility, all systems go. So maybe you could provide us, unfortunately, a little bit tragic, how you guys overcame that and where you are today.
Right. Well, yeah, we're, we've said it a few times, many times, and we're really floored by the local outreach that we got from everyone, when we were kind of hit by the storm. But yeah, we're happy to be brewing again, putting everything behind us. And we really wanted to make it a point to come back out here and kind of just, be pouring beers that we've brewed since the storm here. And, and we're looking to grow as a business too, as a brewery. And we, we realize we sell most of our beer in the city, in the boroughs. And, we want to kind of obviously continue to do that, but also kind of get more of a presence on the island. I feel like a lot of people, don't know who we are still, and we've been around for 3 years, so that's our fault, and we're trying to turn that around, so we wanted to kind of make this a jumping off point for that, and just, you know, we're a Long Island brewery, we should have a little more presence on Long Island.
I like knowing that every time I go to Jimmy's number 43, I can expect a barrier beer on tap.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jimmy's is a great guy. Jimmy's a great guy, and they pour a lot of our beer.
We do catch it a lot at Barbecue. I've had the Oil City at Barbecue. Yep. This is my question. The Unimperial IPA, one of the most full-bodied Unimperial IPAs ever had. Okay. It's truly an Unimperial IPA.
It is 4%, high mash temperature, low fermentation temperature. It kind of keeps a lot of its full body. Good amount of dextrin malt, and some really full bodied like two UK four malted barley.
It's truly hard to believe, but I don't know if you've had them, Mike,
a Barbecue, actually.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. For an Unimperial IPA, it's phenomenal.
That's what we wanted. Really, like the hop bill of like just a normal IPA, and you know, in the body of a really nice sessionable, you know, easy drinker that you'll have a problem getting drunk off of.
Yeah.
which is what we like. I mean, a lot of our beers are below 7%.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and that's kind of our philosophy, but you know, we like sampling a lot of different beers throughout the night. We don't tend to brew beers that you can have, you know, a pint of it and you're done for the night. Even though I'd have a pint of Unimperial and I'll be probably vomiting in the corner because I'll be wasted.
Yeah. But especially me at 135 pounds, sadly.
These guys have an expansive roster. If you check out their website, you'll be floored actually about how many brews, like how many actual beers they, you know, are producing at any given time, which is a great thing. You know, switch it up. Offer you quite an array of things.
And so, the hopped lemonade.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, limeade. I'm like, I want to go to there. So hopefully Travis and I can definitely make a trip out there and visit you guys and maybe get the tour and have, like, you know, a little bit more thorough of an interview and get some insight as to what you guys have going on. I know that I'm looking forward to more of your beers heading out east and hopefully seeing more of you guys. That aside, you recently bottled one of your first beers. So maybe you can tell us about that experience and kind of the reception you received about that.
Yeah. Well, the first unofficial, we'd love to have you guys down anytime you want to come down. We just set it up and love to make that happen.
Since we're friends now.
Yeah, anytime.
They do exist.
Or do we? The first bottle release, which is like an unofficial, was a submersion double IPA that kind of survived the storm in the tank. Came out really nice, but the first official bottle, whatever official means, we're going to be releasing that wholesale. We did a bottle release like 2 weeks ago at the brewery. It's an Imperial, we're calling it like an Imperial Pale Ale. It's borderline barley wine as well. It's going to turn into like more of a barley wine, like a hoppy American barley wine. It's all Zythos hopped, 10%. It's really full-bodied, some like really nice caramel, toffee flavors from the malt, and then just really nice like floral, citrus notes from the Zythos hops that we used. It's really, you know, that's the way the brewery's built. It's such a small system that the brew house tanks are such that basically we had to brew six mashes of this beer to make enough to bottle it. So every time we brewed it, we double mashed, sent it into one tank. Basically, every mash yields us 3 barrels of beer. So 2 mashes a day over the course of like a month, basically, you know, filled up one fermenter. I'm not explaining it well because I'm drunk, but 2 mashes per fermenter. Fermented the batch, transferred it to our 15 barrel Bright. So we did that 3 times. And then we yielded enough to bottle it, and then Trent, and many other processes, but primed it, bottle.
It all sounds good to us, I promise.
Tail end of the day, tail end of the day.
Yeah, we bottle conditioned it with honey, and it came out pretty nice. Have you guys had it?
No,
I haven't, unfortunately. But
I was actually at the original brewery in Oceanside, the first location.
Okay.
I've not been to the second location. I don't know about Mike.
I haven't. But we definitely need to go out there.
Yeah.
We just set up a hot date with the guys at Barrier and break bread and drink some beers for sure.
We got some bottles there, obviously. But and we always got between 10 and 15 beers on tap. We got the hop lemonades, hop limeades. So just having fun.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Evan. Where exactly are you located in Oceanside?
3001 New Street, Unit A2, Oceanside, New York.
Keep an eye out for their stuff on tap, and be sure to order it if you see it. Thanks again.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We are here with the Rick Sabatka of the Great South Bay Brewery. Rick, we primarily want to know, A, what you poured today and how that reception was. I know at this point it was good enough where you kicked pretty early, but I kind of want to know about the Bay Fest that you guys have planned for your for the Long Island Craft Beer Week. If you could give us some insight into that, it would be appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mike. Yes, we had a wonderful time at the Cask Ale Fest at Blue Point Brewery. We served a massive IPA in our blood orange, fresh-squeezed cask ale. It was a good reception. We kicked both of them very fast. And with that, I have my good friend here, Mike Napolitano, here.
Ah, thank you.
From the Long Island Beer Malt Enthusiasts.
Yes.
From Long Island Beer Malt Enthusiasts in the house. What up, yo?
My personal consultant on everything I do. Basically, from here, we've had a great festival, always at the Blue Point Cask Ale Festival. And in a few weeks, we are heading to the Bay Fest. Bay Fest is the first inaugural beer fest for Great South Bay Brewery. We're holding it at our brewery. We have about 21 breweries signed up. And with that, we are going to kick in action our 30-barrel brewery, brand new system, never been brewed on before. First release beer at the Bay Fest.
Is it going to be a new beer you've never debuted before? A new beer?
Absolutely. We are brewing a beer we've never brewed before. It's going to be a...
You look tempted to tell us what that beer is.
Well, I'm a little tempted. We have a bit of a malt and hops and a lot of yeast and water going into that beer. The general recipe, but we have something special planned, and we're not releasing it until the Bay Fest. The reason being is because, you know, we love to hold our fans and supporters and Bay Fest entrance in suspense, but it's going to be a pretty incredible beer only for the Bay Fest. We will not distribute or sell anywhere else.
It's kind of like Mike. A lot of the girls come up to him and say, Mike, are you single? He doesn't give them the answer. He says, you have to kiss me to find out.
It's true. I mean, I play my cards close to my chest like Rick over here, you know. You don't want to give too much insight, you know. You got to leave some mystery there, and that's appreciated because now everyone's like, what are they going to serve? I don't know. Now I have to go. I better buy a ticket before it sells out because that's very much a possibility. From what I've seen on Facebook, the Bay Fest has received a great some great attention, and you know, people are buying up tickets, so get them while they're available, because once they're gone, they're not going to be available at the door.
And what day is that, and what time is Bay Fest?
The day is Saturday, May 11th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. We actually are about 10 tickets away from selling out from our original plan. So we sold out very quick, which we did not anticipate. So my organizer, Starfish Junction, whom we dearly love, has basically agreed to host a bigger number of people. So we're looking at a bigger number of people. We're going to open up a lot more tickets to people who couldn't get the tickets. And it's going to be a huge Bay Fest. So 21 breweries. We have our local Long Island Beer Malt Enthusiasts, who I'm here with, Mike Napolitano.
Mike Napolitano!
What up, Mr. Rick?
One of the best brewers I know, unprofessional yet could seriously make a professional level at the beer he brews, is going to be here with a special beer for sure. And with that, 21 other breweries, ranging from Long Island breweries to Brooklyn. Now we just added Wandering Star and 508 Brewery in New York City.
Nice.
It's going to be sensational. We have music. We have barbecue. We have beer enthusiasts.
And hopefully the Beer Amigos.
Beer Amigos, yes. We've hopefully have them a special lounge for these guys to broadcast and bring us the specialness to Long Island beer. And that's what it is. That's what it's all about, is bringing Long Island beer together. and making the big craft beer hub of Long Island so that the rest of the estates can appreciate us and bring attention to us, because we know what's going on and we want you to drink it for sure.
People helping people, it's powerful stuff. Look for those tickets, they're available in limited availability at this point, but get them before it sells out. We look forward to seeing you there. I know Rick Sabaka will be there with a smiling face. Thanks so much for your time, and always listen to Beer Amigos.
It's a pleasure. I love the Beer Amigos. I love Long Island beer, and
I love Mike Napolitano.
Mike Napolitano! Yeah!
Thank you.
He's the man, the myth.
Oh, great South Bay. You really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, great South Bay, you really make my day. I want your snaggle tooth stout inside of my mouth, for a pint of your massive IPA, even $500 I would pay. Your Robert Moses Pale Ale, it alone would set my boat a sail. I want your blonde ambition while my wife is in the kitchen cooking, 'cause we all know a woman's place is in the kitchen, right? I'm kidding! Oh, great South Bay, you really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, great South Bay, you really make my day. Oh, great South Bay, you really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, great South Bay, you really make my day.
Yay!
Oh, great South Bay, really make my day.
This is Mike from Empire Brewing Company. I'm here with the Beer Amigos at the Blue Point Cask Festival.
We're here with the gentleman from Greenport Harbor Brewing Company. Always a fan of your beers and your company. We've done a few sessions at the Coliseum where we've discussed different things. But here we are with John and Rich and Christian. Not drinking one of your beers yet.
I have the Other Side IPA.
But let's talk about the Other Side IPA, which was recently received some accolades. Let's talk about how that came into fruition. Are you guys even brewing that beer? Maybe you could tell us a little bit how that happened.
Yeah, it was. So that beer was. So basically, our initial IPA was Disorient IPA, if you remember that. Due to several legal issues with the State Liquor Authority, couldn't secure that name Disorient, even though it was clearly named after Orient, which was the town over from Greenport.
Directly adjacent.
They didn't buy that, so we, rather than going to a dedicated IPA, did an IPA series. And Other Side was our West Coast style IPA, so really full hops, pretty aggressively hopped. Awesome beer. We all loved it when it, you know, released. And then when it came back to release again this year, we kind of decided to release it as our full-time IPA. And in conjunction with that, we entered the Blind IPA tasting in Brooklyn.
Is it Mug's Ale House, right?
Mug's Ale House. Against like Lagunitas, Dogfish Head, Six Point, Blue Point. A bunch of breweries, great breweries that we love, and we ended up winning. So we felt a little like we knew what was going on, you know, for once, where we actually introduced that beer ahead of it winning a blind taste test. So we were pretty happy. But that's how that beer kind of came into existence on a full-time basis. It's now our full-time.
Basically, it was my idea.
Well, I mean, that's got to feel good. I mean, again, judged by local people,
I know that at Martha Clara 1 year, Leaf Pyle had you know, been recognized and subsequently was able to be released in restaurants across Long Island, which is a nice thing. That being said, we do love everything you pretty much make, and I know that Trav recently attended the Jackson's beer dinner where your beers are paired with certain foods, and he had a great time. Trav, maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit to share that with our listeners, because you did kind of post photos like course to course as to what you're eating.
My one question, which I didn't get an answer to, is who actually chooses what beer is paired with what meal at your beer, you know, dinners?
You know, we always work with the restaurant to come up with the basically any beer that is in rotation at that point is up for the beer dinner that is, you know, during that time period. And we'll work with the chef and, like, decide what the right beer is for what he's thinking. You know, I mean, I think the cool thing about beer right now is that people are starting to imagine it like wine, where it is, you know, certain beers go with certain foods, and there's a lot more thought that goes into it. And we feel like to just kind of push beers onto a restaurant is crazy when you have, you know, these great restaurants that are making amazing food, and really, like, working with them to get to the menu of what they're making and get to the, you know, the beer menu is the best way to go.
Now, do you guys simply read the menu, or does someone say, like, Justin, go down to the place, taste the food, and decipher, yes, it will go well with this, you know, dish?
Well, you know, there's a lot of trust involved, so we will try and get the chef the beer in, you know, 99% of the time, so they can kind of get a sense of where that beer is going and what type of foods he makes pairs well. But yeah, no, we don't require that we taste the food ahead of it being on the menu. We like, you know, usually, you know, thankfully are associated with really good restaurants and great chefs. And we've been very lucky to have some pretty amazing beer dinners, which you were a part of.
The beer dinner was absolutely incredible. And Mike, I think Mike was a little jealous, and I had the opportunity to head down there.
I was definitely jealous. But I do get, like, what John's saying in the sense of, like, just as much as, like, these gentlemen don't want someone being like, hey, brew this beer this way because that's what we want to drink. Like, yeah, you take those things into account, but at the end of the day, you're going to brew the beer that you inevitably want to brew. And the same thing for the chef. I mean, it's a matter of mutual respect. And really, like you said, you know, you have the choice as to what restaurants you're doing it with. And that's kind of like where your control is. Like, okay, if this chef, you know, tends to make phenomenal cuisine or specializes in, like, you know, let's say, like, American fare, or, like, you know, is a classically trained French chef, you kind of know, like, what dishes or, like, what wheelhouse that chef's going to work in. So, I mean, that absolutely makes sense. Because, again, like, you don't want too many cooks in the kitchen, for lack of a better, like, you know, cliche. I unfortunately didn't have the opportunity to go. This bastard didn't even invite me. Very inconsiderate of him.
Sorry.
But I know that we briefly touched on you guys opening a second facility in our previous interview. Maybe you could give us some insight as to where that is and what's going on there.
Sure. So, yep, we're moving along in Peconic. We're scheduled to come online with making beer by, you know, sometime in end of July, early August. John's touching my ass. I don't know why.
Natural butt grab. It's acceptable.
Yeah. It was very gentle.
It's going to be, you know, pretty phenomenal. We're really psyched. We're going to have we're hoping to have kind of a showplace brewery location. We're then going to follow that as quickly as we can with our tasting room that's going to have a beer garden and ultimately a brew pub by the end of the year. We're going to be bottling at that location. We're kind of to the point before, we're actually pretty excited because I think we're going to start bottling our other side, IPA, as soon as we can.
In 750s or in six packs?
You know, we're going to start with, you know, with the 12-ounce bottle, six packs. And then, you know, we still, because we'll be opening the larger kind of location that'll accommodate more volume in Peconic, it's going to allow us to kind of move Greenport, which we're keeping. We're not moving out of Greenport, but it's going to allow Greenport to become more of kind of a test kitchen for us and allow us to do more of those kind of limited one-off runs that would be, you know, whether we do something that's going to be a 750 or what have you. So, you know, all of that is kind of coming together so that by the end of the summer, we'll be online there. So, yeah, we're pretty psyched about that.
That's awesome. That's definitely something we look forward to. It's nice to see, you know, specifically, you know, obviously the Blue Point, you know, brewery, we pretty much see everywhere. But we see Spider Bite now doing some bottling, and it'll be great to see you guys there as well, with the Long Island-based specifically breweries, as you make, you know, make way westbound to Christian's territory, because you're the city guy, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Representing Greenport in the boroughs in general, or?
Yeah, it's definitely in the five boroughs. We have Justin, our other sales guy, does the Long Island thing. So I just concentrate in Manhattan and, you know, try to get a partner, you know, with these good restaurants and accounts and make sure that we get some good relationships going. People who understand what we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve and say through our product. And it's a blast. It's a lot of fun.
And have you found, like, their beers have been received? I mean, obviously being received extremely well out here. There's a lot of distributors that I even go to personally, making the rounds looking for limited stuff that's from out of state, you know, and I'll see like a significant amount of Greenport taps like present. How do you find that's been transitioning into the boroughs and the Manhattan area specifically?
Well, we find that we really like to partner with the people, you know, like I was saying before, that they don't understand it. But we found that the best reception have been, like, honestly, with the people who know what's going on, the people that understand the industry. And it's not just the people who are just trying to put everything up against the wall that's new, because that's really popular, is to just do what's new and exciting and everything like that. But we really strive to go to the places where it's a good concept and we're paired with food. I mean, that, you know, going back to the beer dinner thing, I think it's something we really look to do is make sure that our product is represented with good quality food, and it's represented in a good atmosphere, because everybody's just going to have a good time, and that's, you know, that's what we want. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Has there been a specific beer you've had the most success with in transitioning into that market?
The other side IPA has been really big for us. I think it may be because we kind of starved that market for a little while and didn't do a consistent IPA. Everybody wanted us to, and then when we finally came out with it, I think it was the right decision on these guys over here to, you know, choose that one. Or John is saying that
it was my idea.
Okay. Well, whoever.
Regardless,
everything has been Rich's idea so far.
It was a great decision, whoever's it was, because everybody was looking for that, and they really wanted that kind of accessible, really good, you know, local IPA. So, and it's not to say we're exclusive in that. There are a lot of good IPAs out there, but that has really been a big, a big mover for us.
I'm not exaggerating when I say my wife talks about the Other Side IPA at least once a week.
More than you.
Yeah, she doesn't get the opportunity to have it once a week, but she mentions wanting it at least once a week.
You're like, you turn around and she's like, no, the Other Side IPA, not your other side. And I mean, and an IPA is a great segue beer in general, because, I mean, a lot of people, you know, automatically they associate IPA with, like, hop-heavy beers and so on and so forth. But it's a great beer category in general. It's probably the most known, like, you know, from a craft beer drinker or even just people, like, introducing into that area, where they'll have that beer, and then maybe come the fall, the Black Duck Porter will be on, and they'll be like, you know what, I'm going to have one of those, because it's delicious, and you should always have one of those when it's available.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, to your earlier point, the bottling thing and where we are with bottling, I mean, we're really looking to make beer. Like, we make the beer that we want to make. Black Duck Porter that you mentioned, we make year-round from day one. Porter's is not a year-round beer. Usually people in the summer kind of view a dark beer as being a little bit too much. They want something lighter. We don't look at beer that way. We look at beer through our own kind of, you know, goggles. So we, for that reason, make that beer year-round. We, you know, with the bottling thing, we could have entered packaging much earlier. We decided we want to control all of our brewing and not contract brew out and have our bottles done somewhere else. So that is a big reason why we're so late to market, you know, with our bottling, is because we want people to, when they try any of our beers, to be able to say good or bad that Greenport was, you know, on the production side of,
yeah, you're
making
direct
that beer.
Candidate. I mean, understandable. Yeah. I mean, you want to control that, and I respect that greatly. I mean, from a brand integrity standpoint, you know, like you said, everything that you make, everything you're putting out, you have direct control over. You guys are, you know, calling the shots at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I will say, too, that one of the things that we're really excited about is next year, I'm committed, and the brewery's committed to, we're going to be actually making a 100% Long Island ingredient beer. So by next summer, we're actually going to be using malted barley grown on Long Island. We're going to be using hops grown on Long Island. We're going to actually bring, it'll be a one-off style, but it will be a Long Island grown beer, much to the idea of kind of like owning where we are, and where we are is where what we want the beer to taste like, and we want the beer to taste like the ground upon which it's grown. And that, to me, is really important because Long Island is growing in terms of a beer kind of centric place, a craft beer place. So it's next year, there's going to be a lot happening, even more so than this year. And next year, it's going to be a 100% Long Island beer that we're going to be brewing.
I mean, the ability to even leverage local crops and, you know, local product in general is an amazing opportunity that not everyone can say, like, they can't say they can do that. I mean, if you just even, like, stepping out of this immediate conversation, if you look at Paul at Blind Bat, you know, he tends to use a lot of local ingredients, like local potatoes, or, you know, he's a big stout guy, he's a Long Island potato stout today, a Saison, you know, sweet potatoes, probably...
You're drinking the sweet potatoes, yeah. Saison right now, yeah.
Delicious. Probably harvested out of our own soil, and again, I actually read an article prior to even coming here today that said, like, it was actually in conjunction with wine specifically, but where, you know, soils, you know, directly affect, you know, the product. So Long Island, you know, traditionally back in the day was a potato growing, you know, island, and there's great soil here in general. The wine business has boomed. So obviously the ability for the hops industry and, like you said, the grain industry to really take off exists. So why would you not use local ingredients? So, I mean, that's phenomenal, like, really setting the benchmark of, you know, reaping the rewards of local growth and supporting local businesses in every facet from like, you know, from the ground up to finished product. So always a pleasure talking to you guys.
And I must interrupt you, Mike, real quick. You guys have your 3-year anniversary coming up soon. Four year. When may the 4-year anniversary party be?
It's generally the second weekend of July.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what the date is exactly, but it'll be just about the second weekend.
I think Greg Martin from Long Island may be at the fourth anniversary party.
Do you guys edit this stuff?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourselves.
So we'll definitely be there. I have unfortunately never been, but I'm coming. Greg Martin's going to be there as drunk as he is now, if not more. And we look forward to that.
This isn't the drunk Greg Martin. This is the sober Greg Martin.
This is actually sober Greg Martin. But listen, out of everybody, you know, listen, we cut our teeth with the guys from Greenport Harbor. So I don't even know what you were talking about when we came in. But we love these guys. We went to our first CBC. Boston, Massachusetts, 2009. These guys weren't open yet. We were just open. We got drunk on the ferry coming back home, and we've been friends ever since. So it's all good for them.
I thought Dan was going to kill me, but then I realized he's the nicest guy.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a dark alley with Dan, but once you get to talk to him, you realize, I don't mind being in a dark alley with Dan.
You're like, I want that guy on my side.
Dan's a horse. He doesn't know how big he is. That's the problem.
So as always, we really enjoy talking to the Greenport guys. The Long Island guys, and we look forward to doing it again in the near future. Until then, keep it clean. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Wash your balls.
We're here with Belport Dave from Dave's Belport Cold Beer and Soda, our good friend and a frequent visitor on the Beer Amigos podcast. Dave's got a bunch of stuff going on, so we're actually going to have him share it because it's not only cool as hell, but it's extremely important, near and dear to him. First and foremost, Dave has a Founders Brewing Company tasting coming up, I believe, on the 27th of this month at 2 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. Dave, maybe you can provide us with some insight as to what you'll be having, you know, what's going on there, and we'll go from there.
Well, when Founders comes to town, we make it kind of special. So we're going to be tapping a few different years' worth of the regular breakfast stout, and have the Imperial Stout on tap, which is pretty much out of the market at this point. We're getting an extra 2 cases of KBS, which will be a 1 bottle per person thing with the purchase of another Founders product. And Tim's there, and Tim's one of the greatest beer hippies ever.
Yeah.
I love the guy. Do you know Tim?
I've met him once, yes.
Yeah, he's a great beer hippie. He never goes over like 30 decibels in his voice. He's like a stoner beer guy.
I don't think I actually talked to him, but I did meet him, and he's very polite.
I met him at Dave's last Founders tasting last year, and I just want to acknowledge the fact, I've actually was meaning to post it previously, and I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that Dave pretty much is the man in the sense that he really facilitates people getting beer where a lot of other distributors put stuff out early or it doesn't even like exist as far as they're concerned. So I just want to acknowledge that as much as we talk him up, it's entirely genuine and worth it because like you said, he's going to have two cases of KBS there where other places you pretty much had to overpay entirely or as far as you're concerned, when it was actually gone by the actual release date. So I just wanted to acknowledge Dave in this public forum known as The Beer Amigos. So a great event nonetheless. If you have the opportunity to make it out there, please do it. Dave is really great at holding stuff back in general. During Craft Beer Week on Long Island, he tends to open up his safe, his stash, if you will, and make things that have long been unavailable available to the masses. So... and that's something to stay tuned on as well, because as that approaches in May, I'm sure we'll have more information pertaining to that. That being said, Dave also organizes a charity event in Bellport. Dave, if you could provide us with some insight as to what you'll have going on there and, you know, the overall cause of that, it would be greatly appreciated.
Well, first of all, I'll start with it's a charity event. And the charities are, number one is Camp Aquatic, which is a camp for handicapped kids. It's out in Santa Mauritius. It's a great place. I just love everything they do. The way they do it is phenomenal. Genuine people, people that love the kids. And it's an amazing experience for these kids who really, they don't have the opportunity to do these things like ride horses to, you know, just to be a regular kid. It's a kind of place where they allow these kids to be as much regular kids as they can be, which is why I love the place. So they're my number one charity. My number two charity is the Lighthouse Mission, which is a food pantry in Bellport, run by this unbelievable guy called Pastor Jim, who gave up a multi-million dollar business to help people. And when it comes to religious leaders, there's a lot of cynicism and there's a lot of things I don't like, but this guy embodies everything I do like. He just does everything for the people. He's all about the people and, you know, spreading the word to help people. I mean, he's a bit of a preachy guy, but that's what he does. It's a mission, and he's a preacher. He's a pastor, rather. But he does phenomenal work, and he really helps as many people as he can. Their outreach drives all over Suffolk County to help people. So they got my next check. And the third check goes, it's a much smaller check, goes for some high school scholarships, which I handpick the people. So it's people who can actually, yeah, it's getting loud here. People that can actually use the money, as opposed to some of the people who I've seen in the past, who get these scholarships and their family name is on streets in the town. So pretty much that tells you they don't need the money. So that's why I handpick them. You want to pause for a moment?
No, let's keep going. So When actually is the Bellport Cold Beer and Soda charity event this year?
It's on June 13th. It's Thursday night, June 13th, 6 to 10 p.m. It's a great event. You guys have been there. It's probably one of the most cool, like, camaraderie events ever. The brewers come out. They don't send representatives. And it's just this really kind of cool grassroots kind of thing. And it's just this great, like, vibe. And I love the event, and the guys who come to the event love the event. The brewers love the event. It raises money for good causes. We do raffles. It's beer, wine, and food, and it's Long Islanders for Long Islanders. All Long Island brews, all Long Island wines, and all Long Island eateries.
Dave, and where can people buy tickets for that, or at least inquire into more information pertaining to that?
All right, well, next week the tickets will be live online. They can pick up tickets. There'll be a couple of places. I'll announce who's got the tickets to get the hard tickets. But you can go to the Facebook page, Bellport Cold Beer and Soda Facebook page. We'll have a link to everything. There's also a website, which is BellportCharityBeerEvent.com. So all that stuff's going to be up next week, and tickets will be live and available. And this year we're trying to get so many people to show up that we outgrow the venue.
I think if you need some entertainment, Mike and I might be available with our guitar. Just putting that out there.
You know what? We do musical. We've always had music. We've always had live music. Always local people. Always beer people. Hell yeah, bring your shit, man. You know, the truth is, when one guy gets off and another guy gets on, it gives the other guy time to drink beer. So yeah, you know, that'd be great. I'd love to have you guys play there.
That sounds like a good plan to me, huh, Mike?
Absolutely. Always a pleasure talking to Dave from Dave's Bellport Cold Beer and Soda. Make it out there for sure. Anything he has his hand in is with genuine, you know, genuine interest. And Dave's the man. What can we say?
Thank you so much, Dave.
No, thank you guys, because I love the Beer Amigos.
This is Sim with Captain Lawrence Bruin hanging out with the Beer Amigos at the Blue Point Cast Festival.
Yeah!
That wraps up another episode of the Beer Amigos.
Thanks for stopping by and listening. We appreciate it. We look forward to next year's Cascals Festival, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
And as always, check out libeerevents.com for all your up-to-date information on Long Island craft beer events. Don't forget that May 15th at Jackson's in Comac, the Long Island Craft Beer Pong Tournament, hosted and refereed by the Beer Amigos, will be taking place.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Until next time, adios, amigos.
Thanks for listening.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos. The Beer Amigos.